KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Well, she plans to travel to Geneva, Switzerland to speak at Geneva Peace Week. It's a gathering of global peace-building groups and UN representatives. But before she goes there, Reem Ghanim is joining us right here. Welcome, Reem.
Thank you so much for hosting me.
You are the executive director of the Rotarian Action Group for Peace with members in 110 countries around the world. Tell us about this group and what you do.
Well, first, I'm so happy to be with you tonight or this evening. Well, our group is really focused on addressing and empowering the grassroots worldwide. And our representation that reaches 1 in 10 countries around the world is really to elevate the ideas and to make resources accessible to communities worldwide who needs those resources. And we do that by providing actionable strategies for our partners on the ground and who are made up of Rotarians and Rotary clubs worldwide. And our mission is really to address this issue that I want to talk about tonight. It's peace inequality in the world. The research shows that we have a growing peace inequality at the global scale. To explain that further, we have a trend where peaceful countries, their state of peacefulness is not deteriorating, it's actually growing. While the lowest countries and the not peaceful countries, their levels of peacefulness continues to deteriorate. So the trend keeps growing if we're not addressing that gap. So the Rotarian Action Group for Peace, by doing those intervention at a global scale, is really trying to bridge that gap and close it by taking action with Rotarians on the ground.
Okay. And so you are a Palestinian Muslim, and you grew up in the occupied West Bank. Can you describe that for us?
Well, I grew up in a city called Tul Karim in the West Bank. And in my city, there's two refugee camps. One is in the entrance of my city. So every time I go visit my family, I see the refugee camp. The other one is in my downtown, close to my high school in the past. And So refugees are part of our daily lives, and it's not the case for one city in the West Bank. It's all over. I've had to cross checkpoints. My parents and like half my family is refugees. The other half is displaced people. It's important to highlight that my community and the way I grew up, there was sets of laws. One is military law, where we have to live by that, while the other people, Israeli settlers who live in the West Bank, are subject to civil law. So to put that in perspective, I have to share with you the story of Suha, my neighbor, who was born into the Second Intifada, a time that was really violent, where there was invasions. To put in perspective, my city was bombed by F-16. So Soha's first word after a year of constant violence was Tach. Baby's first word was Tach. Tach means shooting. And that just to explain the extent to which violence really rips our humanity. I want to share something a little bit personal. Living in the U.S. in a peaceful country, when I go to my office, work with my awesome team, and see people on the street, I always have this question in my mind. I wonder, what is it like to be safe? Although I live in the country that is peaceful in the U.S., I'm still Palestinian. And I have fear for my community and my family. And even my personal security as a Palestinian citizen, I wonder what is it like to be safe. I really don't know, and I hope one day I will understand what that looks like. What is that for real?
You actually came to the U.S. on what's called a peace scholarship, and you earned a master's degree at Duke University. Tell us about the Peace Scholarship. How did you end up with that, and how did you end up at Duke?
Well, I have to clarify that I'm an alumni of both Duke University and UNC Chapel Hill.
What a rivalry we got there.
Yeah, so just to maintain the peace, I am a fan of both the Blue Devils and the Tar Heels.
There you go.
So I came here because Rotary International gave me that opportunity. They supported, through their Rotary Peace Fellowship program, promising leaders from all over the world. They give master's degree programs to 50 promising leaders and another 50 for professionals in peace building. So I was part of the master's degree program where I ended up in North Carolina. When I was in Palestine, my career was really focused on mutual understanding and international development. So I worked with community-based organizations, and I did this exciting project to organize an international dance festival in 2011, where we hosted that in Ramallah in the West Bank, and we brought dance troops from all over the world unified in dance as a language, and that just to show how art and peace are very intertwined. So really that career path led me to know about Rotary, and then Rotary believed in me, and now I'm here today with you.
So you're presenting at a workshop to world leaders in Geneva at Geneva Peace Week. So what are you presenting on?
Thank you so much. So Geneva Peace Week is a wonderful opportunity for business leaders, for government representatives, UN representatives, global organization leaders to come together, dreamers about peace, to come together and address the complexity of peace building in our world and provide multifaceted solutions. I was invited to present there to offer actionable strategies for these world leaders and peace practitioners, and show them ways in which they can contribute to peace by empowering local communities worldwide.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of social justice issues that you're very involved with speaking about. For example, religious tolerance is a big one. Do you think that Americans, from what you've seen, are becoming more or less tolerant when it comes to religion?
I would like to echo what Queen Rania of Jordan has emphasized. She said something along these lines, that extremism lies in all religions, and extremists have a religion of their own. And as a Muslim, I really don't. I feel that the Christians or Muslims or Jews, the moderates on all these religions, their voices, when elevated, it really disempowers those extreme voices, and that's where how I view that. I view that, and I'm really grateful for my friends in America who come from all over religions and backgrounds, and they really work with me, and I'm here with you today because you also elevating my voice as a Muslim woman, and that is refreshing. So I feel that we are in a positive trajectory as long as we continue to do initiatives like yours and really continue to build this mutual understanding among all people.
The U.S. has been tightening its immigration policy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as an immigrant in the U.S., I've been really intimate with the complexity of our immigration structures, and I really believe that it is so hard to access a green card or like to keep my residence in the U.S. I'm really fortunate because I have connections and I have resources. I'm a leader of an organization, and I can hardly maintain that status despite all the resources. I just want to make the point that the immigration policies needs to be simplified. There should be a reform, because no wonder why there's a lot of illegal immigrants, because As a legal immigrant, I am struggling to maintain my status, and I'm following all the rules. I'm following, and I'm lucky to have the connections and the support from my fellow Americans and friends. And I also want to add one important point here. As a woman, a professional woman, it seems to me that the current immigration structures has an embedded patriarchy in them, because it's easier for me to get my green card through marriage rather than my professional merit. And that's a huge gap. It does not resonate with the way the U.S. has evolved in terms of women empowerment, and I feel this issue needs to be addressed. I am a contributing member of society. I've been always legal. It wasn't straightforward, but I am asking this question: why the immigration policies put more value on me as a woman, as a contributor to a family, than as a contributor to society, as a leader, as a professional woman? I would like to have an answer to that, and I would like to see a reform around these issues.
Wow, that sounds very, very interesting. Also, you know, you focus on peace in the world. I mean, that has got to be a very challenging goal to try to reach that goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is the only realistic goal. And I don't see our world to be sustainable for us to continue to live on our planet with any other goal. It is investing in violence and putting so much money in militarism is really a vicious cycle. And peace is really sustainable, because when we promote peace, when we invest in peace, we're investing in education, we're investing in health, we're investing in mutual understanding, we're investing in elevating human rights. What a wonderful world that we can create when we focus on our energy on the right goal. Our right goal is to live peacefully together and not to fear each other. That's why, as a peace global community, as global citizens, we are responsible to bring people together and create networks, create resources for peace, create, elevate voices for peace. That's our responsibility, and that's why Geneva Peace Week is important. That's why KIPO Radio is important. That's why our daily responsibilities towards peace are important. So I can't imagine any other goal to be around.
So you touched on women's empowerment and sort of the gap that there is when we're talking about, you know, immigration policy, but to your mind, how far has the world come in terms of women's empowerment in your lifetime?
I feel it has improved. And I want to emphasize the point that I made, that I would like to see it trickle down to the law. We have it. We have the mindset. We are ready to reform our laws to reflect the progressive minds of our society, like in America. And in the world, it is improving, but there's so much more work that needs to be done. I am a privileged woman. I am not, to be here with you really is a miracle. And now to lead an international organization as U.S. is a really a miracle. And I am thankful, and it's not a coincidence. I've had a lot of help, but that shouldn't be the case. I know there's a lot of beautiful, powerful, smart, intelligent women who can contribute to this human evolvement from all parts of the world, who don't have that opportunity because of the complexity of immigration, the lack of resources. And I feel that as a collective world, we need to come together and empower these women by really making the laws welcoming to them and elevating them and empowering.
You know, as you're heading over to Geneva, it happens that this month, back in 1945, the United Nations Charter, went into effect to, quote, save succeeding generations from the scourge of war. How far have we really come since 1945?
Well, I would like to say that I'm so proud of the chart, the Human Declaration of the Human Declaration to of Human Rights, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, because it really is a starting point for us to ask the question: how many people around the world, their rights are being violated, and what can we do about empowering them to gain their rights back? I feel that as a Palestinian, I feel that we have a framework to start from, but we have so much work to do. I wish to see the rights of my people reclaimed. As I said before, I wonder every day, what is it like to be safe? I feel that a lot of people don't deserve to live that way, and I feel that we should be intentional about it as a global community, and we are heading towards positive trajectory. That's why Geneva Peace Week is important. We are on the right path. We just need to be consistent and focused.
Is there anything else you want to impart to our listeners today?
I would like to say that I am very grateful. You've invited me here today to speak about peace, but I want to emphasize that all of us, everyone is listening, you are a peace builder because you make the choice to uplift people and bless them rather than depress and curse them. And this is inspired by my favorite Rotarian, Paul Harris, who founded Rotary. That's the quote that inspires really me as I'm doing my work with Rotarians. He said, "Personality has the power to curse, has the power to depress, and also personality has the power to uplift and has the power to bless." So I ask all of us to bless people around us. Every time you send an email, every time you make a phone call, every time you drive your car, you have a chance to uplift and to bless. So it's really important for us all to come together and enhance the peace ecosystem. Peace is an ecosystem, and it needs our participation, it needs our intentions, and it needs our actions. So I ask all of us to remind ourselves of that opportunity and that privilege to advance our peace status of the world by the choices we make every day.
And you're reaching out to the kids with the Peace Village. I wanted to get one last question about that. So the next generation,
yes,
has those ideals. So what is the Peace Village?
Peace Village is an organization that I currently on their board, and it is focused on investing in children as a future generation for peace. It is unfortunate that my first peace education happened through the Rotary Peace Fellowship program when I was in my mid-20s, and I feel it's it can be earlier. We need to invest in advancing the mindset for peace at an early age. So,
okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Reem. Reem Ghanaim is the executive director for the Rotarian Action Group for Peace. She's on her way to Switzerland to speak at Geneva Peace Week.
Thank you.
Thank you.